Good morning. Welcome to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in studio today. Gary Bell's out of town. We're here to talk to you about any legal topic, any legal question you have. Call us up. If we can't answer it on the phone, we'll talk to you off the phone during the week. If we can't figure it out, we'll call specialists in, other lawyers who may specialize in that particular area. We want to get your questions answered. We do this as a service to the community. We've been doing it for well over the last 10 years, maybe even coming up on 15 years. Every single Saturday morning at this time, we come to you and talk to you about questions you have. You can call us at 303-713-8255. If you're in Steamboat, call us at 970-457-1009. We are personal injury lawyers in our regular, ordinary legal lives. When we go into our office, Gary and I started our firm in 1984 here in the Denver metropolitan area. We practiced throughout the entire state of Colorado and outside the state of Colorado, handling personal injury cases. We came to a conclusion about 15 years ago that people had other questions. They had other questions they needed to have answered, and they had no place to get a quick answer, talk to somebody, maybe get more in-depth answers on different questions they might have. We're not a political show. We don't talk politics. We will talk law, though. And so if you have a question, give us a call, 303-713-8255 or 970-457-1009. Bob, how are you doing today?
Doing great there, Brad. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you. You know, folks, we've had a lot of storms, and we've had some bad weather here in the Denver metropolitan area, outside the Denver metro area. It's been terrible. We're getting it all over the state, it seems like. One minute we're dry and hot and begging for rain and begging for moisture, and the next minute we're flooding and we've got water everywhere. One of the things that happens when these storms comes in is we start noticing damage to our property. And when we have damage to our property, it's important that we talk about how we're going to get that repaired. We've talked to many times about being prepared in advance. And, but, you know, we talk about what needs to be done and what you need to look at, how you have to understand your insurance policies. And most preparation in advance for a car crash, when we talk about preparation in advance for a car crash, we talk about different kinds of insurance you can have that will protect your insurance, that will protect your property. With respect to hailstorms, with respect to damage to your car, you know, you've got it. There's a particular kind of coverage you can get for your car. If you don't have it, you're probably not going to have your car covered. That's the comprehensive coverage. You've got to have it. Collision covers collisions, but personal injury and property damage causes when you have an accident. But when you talk about underinsured and uninsured motorist coverage, which we highly endorse, it talks about helping you if people don't have insurance. And if you, and MedPay helps you get the initial expenses of your medical bills paid. Bob, when we start talking about coverage for the damages from the storms to our homes and our other property, we're talking the same thing.
Yeah, you sure are, Brad. When it comes to storms, they kind of generally split up if you have a house, you can have two different types of coverages. You can have a coverage, say, for your roof, which might have a different deductible, maybe more expensive, and different how they value the roof as opposed to, let's say, you had water coming in through a wall or your deck's ruined by hail. They might be covered by a different kind of a different part of the policy and may not get the same benefits. So, for example, let's say your roof got damaged. You need to be reading your policy to figure out what your deductibles are, because they're going to charge you a lot more maybe for the roof than they might for, you know, in terms of deductible than, let's say, for the other structures of the property.
So the bottom line is, to begin with, you need to look at your insurance policy. Need to look at what coverage you have under your insurance policy. You know, I get these flyers in the mail all the time that talk to me about how to deal with my insurance and how I can get lesser rates, and I start looking at what the coverage is. And a lot of times the coverage is not acceptable. For instance, all of you who are listening right now, do you know the difference between actual cash value and replacement value? And do you know which one your policy pays for? And do you know if there's some kind of hybrid, if there's some kind of amount that you have to pay in addition to what would be your deductible. Because, you know, there's also the deductible question that you have to understand, and that we'll talk about that in a little bit if we get the time. You can call us on any topic you have, not just this topic, but any topic you have, any question you have, at 303-713-8255. If you're in Steamboat Springs, call us at 970-457-1009. We will talk to you about any questions you have. We are personal injury lawyers. If you have a personal injury question, call us. We will also probably have you into the office and talk to you about a legal game plan. We're known as champions of the people, and we are the ones who bring to you a legal game plan. We'll sit down with you, and we'll talk to you about your legal game plan, about what is necessary to be able to make sure that you are protected and getting recovery. You see a lot of ads on TV, and you see a lot of people clamoring for your business and saying they've got all these great recoveries. Well, we've got the great recoveries. We've been around since 84, and believe me, you're not around that long without getting recoveries and helping your clients and recovering for your client and being successful. But the question is that all those people don't count when you're the one hurt. When you're the one hurt, you count, and you want to know about yourself, and you want to know about what your case is worth, and you want to know about what you can recover, and what your case is worth takes time. Bob, you know, somebody walks in the first 20, 30 minutes, or maybe even the first hour, wanting to know what their case is worth, could be a very difficult process.
You know, Brad, I always tell the clients when they come in for an intake, they come here and ask what the case is worth, or they go to any attorney, ask what the case is worth. They say, give them a number, you know, $10,000, $20,000. If they haven't seen a medical record, if they haven't seen the police report, they have no way of being able to determine the value of the case. And I would say just get up and walk out, because you need an attorney, a law firm that's going to do the work, a law firm that's going to actually read the medical records, read the police report, get the experts involved that's necessary to value your case, and then give you a real value instead of just something they pull out of the air.
And you want to talk to a lawyer. You want to talk to somebody who has their license on the line. You want to talk to somebody who is going to spend the time to figure out your case, work your case, figure out what the coverages are. How can somebody know what your case is worth when there hasn't even been you don't even know the coverages yet? The other side hasn't told you what their coverage is. You know, you can hear a lot of cases about somebody saying, hey, you know, the insurance company offered $50,000 or $100,000 or $25,000 to settle the case, and they may be offering the total limits of their insured's policy. And then you take them to court. And a lot of lawyers like to do this to get big press, be able to brag. They take an easy case to court that doesn't have much coverage, and they get themselves a $700, $1 million, $500,000 coverage or judgment, but it's uncollectible. There's nothing you can do about it. Unless, of course, you have your own insurance, and at which point then you have to talk to your own insurance company and get them involved. There's a lot of questions that have to be answered when you're talking about a personal injury case and valuing your case. We're going to take a break now. You can call us at 303-713-8255. 303-713-8255. Lines are open. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in the studio today, talking to you about any legal question you've got. We're covering a little bit of topics when we don't have calls. You can call us at 303-713-8255. If you're in the Denver metro area in the Springs, give us a call, 303-713-8255. If you're in Steamboat Springs, call us at 970-457-1009. We're going to talk to Martin in Boulder right now. Martin, you want to talk about lawyers and their licenses?
Well, in your opening remarks, hi, guys.
How you doing,
hi, Martin?
Hi,
Bob.
How's the weather up there in Boulder, Martin?
Oh, it's cloudy and chilly.
Well, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Get away from that heat for a while.
In your opening remarks, you stated that, or you made a remark regarding your licenses are on the line as an attorney.
Sure. When we step into a meeting, we now have a professional responsibility. We have a code of professional responsibility that's supposed to be, that governs our conduct. We have our license on the line, and you know what? We then stand up for what a case is worth and how to handle a case and what to do. And that's why we should be doing it, not paralegals or legal assistants or whatever. We should be doing it. The insurance mills or the law firm mills need to be careful about that, in my mind.
Well, the reason why I'm bringing that up is because, of course, your program is relating to insurance and the personal injury realm. But also, to keep your license, are you required to have your own insurance?
You know, Martin, the funny thing is about that. That's pretty amazing. No. Now, you know, unless it's changed within the last very short period of time, there are a lot of professions, and there are a lot of that require insurance. That require insurance for negligence in their profession as part of the business. In the legal world, we're not required to get insurance.
Oh, I kind of thought you did. You know, like physicians, doctors are required to carry insurance, for example.
Nope. Now we, in our firm, we do, and just about every firm should. I can't imagine a firm of any size and reputation in doing thing, not carrying some type of professional malpractice coverage. You know, the bottom line is lawyers, believe it or not, Martin, I'm about to make a statement here that you're going to laugh at me for, but lawyers are individuals who can make mistakes too. You know, so. When you're doing a case for people, and you understand, you make a lot of decisions, you make a lot of judgment calls, and you have a lot of things going on in your office. You have time limitations. You have to meet those time limitations and the statute of limitations. You have to make sure you properly meet all the time limits the courts give you. I mean, you know, Bob, what is it when we go to a case management conference? We probably get a good 10. Deadlines that we have to meet?
Oh, 10 or 11. Many more deadlines.
Well, it's kind of a double-edged sword that you guys are dealing with because, number one, you're dealing with clients, the lay people that are out there that really are, they just don't know the degree of the kind of law you're practicing.
Well, you know, Mark.
Apply that to their situation. Now they get frustrated because they have a limited amount of knowledge. And now, is it incumbent upon you to really educate them to such a degree they understand your position and how to represent them?
You have to educate your client a lot of times as to what the law is, and you have to set their expectations properly at the first meeting. You know, to prevent a lot of issues that may come up later is have cogent expectations for your clients so they understand where the situation really is. If you go out there and make a pie in the sky kind of statement, it's going to cause all sorts of problems.
And you're right, Martin. You know, 90% of our business really is education. And, you know, I think you once told us, you know, really we're salespeople. Our job is to act as salespeople in education, and that's what it is. We're supposed to take the law and we're supposed to identify the law. When we go into a courtroom, we try and convince juries, and we need to be able to educate our clients.
But clients have expectations.
They do.
And based on their limited knowledge.
And sometimes those expectations are just so exaggerated, a lot of times because of the advertising that lawyers are doing nowadays.
That was my next comment. So all of a sudden you have a client that walks in your office and their expectations are based on a lot of these, you know, harebrained advertisements you see on TV, the pizza lady and all that stuff, $2 million and the client walks in your office, and in the back of their mind, they probably are remembering those kind of commercials.
And, you know, they talk to their friends, too. The friends tell them, oh, I went to an attorney, and I was a rear-end, and I got $50,000. And they say, well, my friend got that kind of money. Why don't I get the same situation?
And they want 10 times the amount the insurance company initially offered, or 100 times the amount, or whatever.
At the end of the day, they look at you and say, where's my money?
In our job, you know, in our job is to educate people and explain to them what the practice is all about and what really happens, you know, and the first thing, Martin, the first thing that a lawyer needs to do is put the case in perspective so everybody understands what it is and let them know that the appearance that, hey, this is easy money, you just go grab it out of a big well of money, a big treasure chest, just isn't true. I mean, it takes hard work, and you have to have the knowledge and the understanding. You have to have the appropriate legal game plan, and you have to have the injuries, and you have to have the insurance coverage. You have to have the money available. You have to have the results that will allow you to recover whatever amount you recover. And like I said, Martin, a big judgment doesn't mean anything if you can't collect it.
Yeah, go ahead and sue me. Yeah. Collect it.
If the person doesn't have insurance and you don't have insurance and there's no assets, okay, well, you can put that up on your wall and you can put it into your website saying, look what a great judgment I got, but that doesn't mean anything. So it's important that people understand and are educated about their cases regardless of whether it's a malpractice case, an injury case, or whether it's a contract case, whether it's a business case, whether it's a case involving somebody who's come in and repaired your home and worked in your home. You've got to be able to understand what the law is about and the counterbalances that may be effective. That's a lawyer's job. Now, is that malpractice if a lawyer doesn't do it? May or may not be, because you've got to, you know, lawyers' actions have to deviate from a standard of care that is established for lawyers. And, you know, Martin, I told you, and I believe I'm correct, I'm 99.9% sure that lawyers don't have to carry malpractice insurance. But if they do have insurance, or they're supposed to be reporting on an annual basis to the attorney regulation office whether they have professional liability insurance. So, you know, for everybody listening, if you want to know if your lawyer has malpractice insurance, if they have coverage in the event they make a mistake, or if you're dealing with a lawyer who, so to speak, has no net, no fallback to protect their clients, then you can always call attorney regulation and the Supreme Court Regulation Committee and find out whether or not that lawyer carries coverage.
Well, real quick, you know, you see on TV these shows that are showing trials, actual cases, criminal cases usually, and they cite the defendant gets convicted of whatever, and then they cite ineffective counsel on appeal.
Right.
But yet, that kind of tells the public that you can always just complain about your lawyer saying he didn't represent you in an adequate way that you were entitled to. But here again, that's on appeal, like on criminal cases, but in a civil matter, can a person cite ineffective counsel and find a cause of action against their own attorney?
Right, they can. And the first thing they need to do is that they think that attorney has not done the job right. They need to go to another set of attorneys to do the same job. Hopefully those attorneys will talk to each other and find out whether they acted within the standard of care, the way the attorney's supposed to handle it. I mean, there's some obvious things. If attorney misses a statute of limitations, then obviously there's a problem.
That are blatant. Like
yes,
that.
Very blatant. Other ones are whether or not you've made the right decision. In the criminal cases, you see ineffective assistance counsel, and it can get them a new trial. If you have ineffective assistance counsel in a civil case, you don't get a new trial. The only place you can do is look to your own attorney for recovery on that.
Or they can miss a claim, let's say a dram shop claim.
Right. If you miss a claim, or, you know, what's your explanation for not filing a dram shop claim? You know, your client gets hit in an accident by somebody who's been drinking and is intoxicated. And the question is, should you have been suing the bar where they went out and got intoxicated?
And if that wasn't done,
right,
then the client has a cause of action.
But they may have a cause of
sure.
action.
Sure. There's $280,000 of a potential recovery that you've just passed up on. You know, but, you know, Martin, when that happens, the first thing you should be doing as a lawyer, and you get a call like that, is call the other attorney and say, hey, you didn't do a Dram Shop Act claim. Why? You know, we've done shows, Martin, where we've talked about where you find insurance. Underinsured motorist coverage. Why didn't you do it? Did you not realize this person might be a resident relative of your home and of somebody else's home? You know, in the state of Colorado, you can be a resident relative of more than one home. So, you know, a kid goes to college and gets in a crash and is living at college. He may have insurance available through his own parents at his own home because he's living in the dorms or living at college, but he's going to come back home in the summertime, and so he may have two residences. Well, attorneys need to know that, and if they miss it, the question is, why didn't they get it?
Well, if they miss it, what recourse does the client have, though?
They may very well have a right to a malpractice claim against the against the attorney who missed it, saying you missed this claim, and now you've got to pay the money I would have gotten had I
But they can't reopen the case to address that missed claim.
That's correct. Can't reopen the case. You're one and done, buddy. That's what it is.
I mean, it's already been adjudicated, and you should have brought your claims in a timely manner at that point in time, and if that attorney missed a certain claim, you're just out of luck.
That's exactly why you want to have attorneys who know the law and who consider all the different angles.
It's really about communication between the client and the attorney.
Yeah, like I talked to you guys.
Martin, as usual, you've had an excellent call, buddy. You do a great job.
Take care.
Have a good time up there in Boulder, buddy.
Okay, bye-bye.
You're listening to the Bell and Paul Legal Show. You can contact us at 303-713-8255 in Steamboat Springs, 970-457-1009. Lines are open. We'll be right back. As long as you don't tie, dragging my bay, dropping the bomb on my street. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in the studio today. You can call us at 303-713-8255. We do have lines open. Steamboat Springs, you can call us at 970-457-1009. We're going to get to Corey in just a minute, but first we're going to talk to Eric about Caitlin's Restaurant, a place where I like to go eat. Eric?
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. Absolutely. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. I got some specials to run by you guys for the week. For the rest of the week, our breakfast special is going to be our spicy ground beef breakfast burrito. We're going to load that up with sauteed bell peppers and onions. That is ground beef. Two scrambled eggs. Of course, you can get our red or green chili on that. We make that right in-house, right on top of that, and some hash browns on the side. That's a good breakfast special to have for the rest of the week. And then our lunch special is our California cold turkey sandwich. We're using a fresh croissant, putting some cream cheese on there, some fresh avocado, turkey, of course, lettuce and tomato. You can get our homemade chips or our waffle cut fries on the side with that. That's going to be the lunch special for the rest of the week. You can come and get those. And don't forget, we're still going strong with that Monday and Friday buffet. It's all you can eat. It's from 11 to 2. It's every Monday and Friday. That actually includes a non-alcoholic beverage and the price of that buffet. Those are scratch-made products on that buffet as well, so come check that out. We've got the deck open. It's a little chilly right now, but I know Colorado is going to come around and be a good day for us today. So we've got the umbrellas ready to go. We've got the flat screens on. We've got crafts of mimosas right there for $13.50. Come enjoy that if that's your way to start the day. All kinds of other things in addition to that you can do at Caitlin's as well, of course.
Eric, satisfy my sweet tooth this morning.
I can do that with some buttermilk pancakes. We got sweet, sugary pancakes right there to a golden brown. You can get cheesecake in those. You can get strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, chocolate chip. We do a bananas Foster that has a banana Foster glaze on that. That's real sweet. You can come on and check that out. So tons of things down at Caitlin's to check out. All scratch made, all done right on premises, ready to go.
Where are you located, buddy?
Guys, we are 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that's one block east of Colorado Boulevard. That is the Glendale Shopping Center. Come and check us out.
I'll see you later, buddy.
All right, guys. Have
Thank
a good day.
You. Take care. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We do have some lines open, and when we do that, I just go straight to the phones. We're going to take them in the order in which they've come, and we're going to talk to Corey about a liability question. Corey, how you doing?
Hi, great. Good morning.
And what can we do for you?
I have a question regarding liability of the owners of motor vehicles who hand the keys over a relative or a friend, and that relative or friend turns out to be an habitual traffic offender. And then if they go out and cause a collision and liability and cause damage, I've heard that the owner's liability insurance policy may not provide coverage because the driver's committing the crime of driving while in habitual traffic offender status.
Well, you know, Corey, that most of the time, if you hold the insurance company's feet to the fire on that, you're going to get coverage if you're an innocent person who's been hurt. But, you know, what you're looking at is you're also able to go after the owner for what we call negligent entrustment. And there is liability for negligent entrustment when you're handing the keys to a car over to somebody. Big questions and arguments will be made as to whether you had to have known they were a bad driver, an habitual driver, a bad driver, and whether or not there should be a situation like that, or whether or not you're dealing with somebody, whether or not you just fail to check into their record to see if they're a good driver.
And, right. The city of Denver has an ordinance that allows vehicles to be impounded for an extended period of time when that happens. And so owners do have, you know, liability from that ordinance program. But as a second question, I also want to bring up something that I became aware of, and that is problems when people sell motor vehicles and the title isn't transferred by the purchaser, and the DMV records still show that the seller, you know, is still the titled owner. And we've seen I've seen cases where the vehicle's involved in a collision, and then, you know, the victim's insurance company goes after, you know, the titled owner who had sold the vehicle but didn't keep a bill of sale, a record of the sale. I'm not sure if you're aware of Senate Bill 73 that it was passed this year, is going to be requiring a DMV to provide people an opportunity to file an online disclaimer statement to disclaim liability for those sort of situations.
You know what? I am aware of that, and I'm a little concerned about it, to be honest with you, because the question is, when you go to get in your car as an innocent driver and you're out there driving, what protection do you have? And that comes right back to the important part of making sure you have underinsured and uninsured motorist coverage for yourself.
Right.
Because Senate Bill 73 is going to allow people to avoid responsibility for lending their car out or for somebody driving their car.
Well, I mean, not too many people that I know of are going to, you know, file that. I mean, it's a time date stamp report, so it's not, they're not going to be able to, you know, file the report after the collision and avoid liability.
Correct. You're exactly right on that. But
so, but I just want to let people out there know that, look, hey, if you sell your vehicle, you've got some exposure of liability. You know, if that purchaser from Craigslist, wherever you're selling it, doesn't go down and get title changed over. I mean, certainly investigation may be helpful to him, but it doesn't mean that there's an exposure for liability there.
That
program, DMV says, is supposed to roll out November or December.
I cannot tell you how wise your words are in that. If you sell your vehicle, get it completed, get title transferred, get it out of your name. Don't continue taking responsibility, because basically if you own the car, you're supposed to have insurance on it.
Right, right. I've seen it. And even in February, Channel 7 did a story of a gal who sold her vehicle, didn't get a bill of sale. Guy goes out and causes a collision. The other insurance company comes after her for $30,000.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. So I just want to give people heads up to that DMV program and Senate Bill 73.
Well, so you've made good sense on a couple things here. First of all, if you sell your vehicle, get it completed, get it out of your name, have the people that own it responsible for the insurance. That's number one. Number two, if you're handing the keys of your car over to somebody, make sure you're handing them to responsible drivers. You just don't go hand them to somebody you don't know for sure if they even have a license. I mean, you want to make sure you have responsible drivers who have a license, so you're not taking a chance that you could be in trouble for turning your car over on a negligent supervision or a negligent entrustment claim. It's important to do.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for your show, guys. You do the community a great service.
Thanks.
Thank you. Corey, thank you. You take care. Thanks for calling the LaBelle and Pollock Villages Show. We're going to stay right with the phones, and we're going to go to J.D. in Colorado Springs. J.D., you have an auto accident situation?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I bumped into an individual in a no-fault zone, and it was near a McDonald's parking lot here in North Colorado Springs. And what happened is the driver stopped directly in front of me going through an intersection. It seemed like she was approaching normally, but she stopped, hit the brakes, and I barely hit him, you know, bumped into her. It looked like maybe a tennis ball of tar on the side of the vehicle. But now, is there a point where you think that, you know, they're claiming bodily injury? Is there a point where this gets fraudulent?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can have fraudulent claims made all the time. That's one of the most terrible situations that happen in the personal injury realm, because the people who make the fraudulent claims end out making it so people are suspicious of those who are legitimately hurt. Are you saying that people are claiming they're hurt from the crash that you had?
Yes, they're saying that the individual passenger, the individual. What happened is I had the phone on speakerphone. I said, "Well, I'll call the police," and they said, "Well, you know, is anybody injured?" Oh no, they said first they go, Does everyone have a driver's license? They said yes. Does everyone have insurance? Yes. Has there been anybody on drugs or alcohol? No. And he heard everything, and then she goes, is anybody injured? And, well, when he jumped out of his vehicle, you know, and came at me and said, what the heck's happening, you know? And I assumed that he was okay, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he was, the chick was a spring chicken. So, and but then she said, "Whenever is anybody injured?" I said, I don't believe so. I don't think so, you know? And he goes, wait a minute, young man. You don't speak for me. I'm injured. So then an ambulance comes. Okay, at first he was just going to say, just exchange your information. There was no stop signs on either direction. So she said, exchange your insurance information and you should take care of any damages. My car, no scratch on it. So, but, you know, then the ambulance comes, the fire department comes, and, you know, he's hitting up the tax dollars here, you know, and they leave because, you know, they've taken his heart rate and they don't fear that they think that he's injured. So, and then later my insurance company I called my insurance company to make sure that the claim and everything was going through because I want his car fixed, you know. I don't want him to have to drive his vehicle with a scratch on it or, you know, I want him fixed if he's hurt. But, I mean, anything. But if, you know, he isn't, I didn't really care that he was, Gary.
JD, this is something you for sure want to have turned over to your insurance company. And, you know, I sit here as a personal injury lawyer making claims for people, and I'll tell you right now, I don't like fraudulent claims. I don't like people who claim they're hurt when they're not hurt. And I think it's important to get through all that.
Well, you know, but Brad, there are people at the scene of an accident say, I'm not hurt, or I think I'm not hurt. And, you know, as soon as the adrenaline wears off, maybe they have whiplash. It may not be apparent right away at the time of the accident. So, you know, I advise people to say, you know, at this point, I'm not sure. I may have an injury. But don't just, you know, it's possible that once the adrenaline wears off, he was injured. But of course, it also could be fraudulent.
JD, listen, I want to talk to you more off the air. Can you hold and we get your number? We got to go to break now, but we get your number.
Sure.
All right. Hold on. We'll get your number. We'll call you off the air. All right. You're listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. We got to go to break right now. You can call us at 303-713-8255. Sherry, you're next up. We're going to talk to you about insurance and medical bills when we come back. Or you can call us at Steamboat Springs, 970-457-1009. Lines are open. Give us a call. Welcome back to the Bill and Polk Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in the studios today. Talking to you about any legal topic. You can call us at 303-713-8255. I'm going to talk to Sherry in just a minute. But first, I want to make sure you stick around for a very, very good show that comes on after us. The Barry and Barry Real Estate Show. That's what I call it, Barry and Larry Real Estate Show. These guys know what they're talking about. You want to listen to them. Their theme for this week is Numbers Speak. You listen. And, you know, they didn't give me any more than that. Just numbers speak, you listen, which means you really want to listen to the show and find out what they're going to talk about in real estate. This is an important area of our economy and very important in Colorado. And by gosh, if you got a house, if you're looking for a house, if you think you're going to sell a house, if you're going to buy a house, or you want involved in real estate, these are the men to talk to. We're going to go straight to the phones. We're going to talk to Sherry. Sherry, you have a question concerning insurance and medical bills?
Yes, I do. I happen to have a claim, and I know the person that ran into me told me she only had $25,000 in insurance. Well, I happen to know I have an insured motorist of $250,000. So that comes, let's say, hypothetically, to $275,000. If I have medical bills that are $150,000, then that only leaves $75,000. I don't think I'm saying it right.
Yeah, you're making
only
good sense.
Leaves a small amount of money left for an injured claim, and then I also have hired a lawyer, so they get money out of that claim. So is that really all the money that's there to pay for everything?
That a lot of times can be all that's left. It might be now. You know, does the policy have MedPay? Does your policy have MedPay on it?
Yes, and that was only $5,000.
Right, so you get that $5,000, and of course you get $5,000 back on top of it. And then what you're dealing with is somebody only has $25,000 coverage, probably doesn't have any assets to go after.
Didn't looked like it. Very young person.
So now you're talking about your insurance. You know, good job that you have the $250. Obviously, you're sitting here now saying, "I wish I had more."
Yes.
And you would have gotten more, or you would have gotten an umbrella all-inclusive coverage or an umbrella coverage. And for anybody listening, if you get an umbrella coverage, remember, uninsured motorists or underinsured motorists is not automatic. You have to get a special endorsement to have that for your car. But you may be at the limit. That's exactly right, Sherry. You may be at the very limit. And let me tell you, you know, your lawyer needs to get in there and get that $275 and get the money into your pocket and get you going forward. You know, what you worry about is if, you know, there's a situation where, the lawyer decides they're going to go ahead and carry out a lawsuit against the person who only has $25,000 in coverage, even though it's been put on the table so they can grandstand their advertising.
Okay.
And, you know, that's probably all the coverage now. You know, if I was talking to you, I'd be saying, do you know if the person that hit you, were they driving somebody else's car or their own car?
Their own car.
All right. And was there by chance they were doing any kind of work or they were carrying out any kind of employment?
No.
Okay. And was anybody else in the car?
No.
And then as far as your insurance, you know, are you the sole is your home the only place you're resident? You can't say you're resident relative of anywhere else?
No.
Do you have anybody that lives with you that has another car with another insurance company?
With different insurance?
Right.
So let's say you have State Farm and you have someone who lives in the household that has American Family. You may be able to tap into their insurance as a resident relative.
Their UIM, you might be able to stack coverages, what it's called stacking. Your insurance policy may say there's no stacking allowed, but if a separate premium is being paid for each of the underinsured motorist coverages, then you can stack those policies and you can and you may have additional coverage there.
You know, when you talk about your bills, you say like $150,000. Is that what was actually paid by your insurance company?
Or is that the amount
billed? My health insurance is paying for those bills.
All right, so you want to use the make whole doctrine?
Do what?
There's a doctrine called the make whole doctrine, which is going to come into play with respect to your case, where you may not have to pay your insurance company back, your health insurance company back, if you're not fully compensated as a result of the injury. Or as a result of the recovery, so you may not have to pay that back. We have a law in Colorado, we call it the make whole doctrine, that says is your insurance through an ERISA plan? Do you know if it's an employee retirement plan or is it just a regular health insurance plan?
It's within my employer.
Okay. And depending on your employer, it may or may not be an ERISA plan, okay? And if it's an ERISA plan, it's something different. But you know,
I don't know what an ERISA plan is.
You know what's happening is when you get policy limits, so that all the insurance available triggers all these other events that impact your ability to recover.
Does your employer carry an employment retirement account and have ways for you to save money retirement?
I have a 401k.
Okay. 401k may tell us that you don't have.
Yeah. Is it a large company?
Yes.
Okay. It's like 20 questions here.
And you're hearing the kind of questions that we ask you at an initial conference. And if we don't, and obviously if we're not satisfied with the answers, and in your situation, I do much more exploration because I'd want to know how this health insurance coverage is there, because you may not have to reimburse the health insurance company.
Be awesome, because I was sitting here adding up my bills. I may have to have neck surgery, and I'm thinking all the money's going to go for the medical.
No, and sometimes you can even negotiate with them, even if you have to. See, and this is where you have to know all this and get all this information, and it's information that would be important. And as far as the amount paid versus the amount billed, how much they actually pay out of their pocket versus the amount the doctor will bill. Sometimes the doctor will bill, let's say, $50,000 for a surgery or $75,000 in the total bills with the hospital and the doctor, but your insurance company may be only paying $25,000.
And oh, I understand that, because okay. I called and asked out of curiosity what the emergency room visit was, and it was $11,000-something, but the bill paid was only $4,000-something.
Right. So initially, you're only responsible for that $4,000.
Okay.
But
all right.
You don't have to pay the $11,000. You only have to pay the $4,000. But in addition, if you have if the make whole doctrine, if that statute comes in place, and then what's going to happen is you may not have to pay any of that.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Well,
that make whole doctrine.
Well,
can you spell that or something?
What it means is that the legislature passed a bill that says if you have not been fully compensated for your loss. So the presumption is if you got the full policy limits from the person, the at-fault driver, that you were not made whole.
Right.
So we send a letter to the insurance company saying that you were not made whole, and they'll have to waive their recovery of getting their bills paid back.
Sherry, you say you have an attorney working on this?
Yes, and they have asked all those questions.
All right, let me get your phone number and talk to you, and I'm happy to talk with the attorney too. I don't want to take the case away from him. I just want to make sure you're fully advised. You got to go now. Hold on. Let's get your number, and we'll call you. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And under the statutes, look at CRS 10-1-135. I'll talk to you more about it. I'm going to put you on hold. You've been listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. We come to you each and every Saturday morning. We appreciate your calls. You make this show with your calls. Hopefully, we can help each and every one of you. And we'll talk to you next Saturday.